Have you ever walked into a room and wondered why you went in that room? I'm not saying it's ever happened to us, right? But, you know, have you ever said, I wonder where my glasses are? You know, where are my glasses? You know, and here they are on the top of our forehead, right? How about your car keys and cell phone? God, where did I put those, right? And they were where you always put them. The keys are either hanging on a hook and the cell phone is on a counter somewhere. All of us have had those experiences. Now, I know that people say the older you get, the more prone to being forgetful you are. However, I have told my beloved children to do their homework and chores, right? And it goes one ear and out the other. I suppose it's all about priorities, you know, what you have to do in your life, your priorities, and the habits that we keep, the habits that we make. So important. Now, there are all kinds of supplements and memory pills out there. Have you seen those commercials? You know, all those supplements and memory pills that are just going to change your world and change the world around you. And, you know, it's like the light's going to come on and isn't just going to be wonderful. I looked on my health insurance website and it says to look out for three things. One, do not buy it if they're giving away free samples. If they're giving away free samples, then it doesn't work, right? Anything that's really good shouldn't be given away. You got to really. Second thing, if it's made in a foreign country, because it could be tainted with something else. United States has strict guidelines. I know that we don't want government and everything, but there's some things that we want government involved with, right? So that's another. The other thing is that they warn us just because it gives you a head rush, wow, you know, which could be the caffeine or the cayenne pepper in it, or, well, I don't know what the heck they'll put in it, but just because it gives you a head rush doesn't mean that it works. So what does work? I used to work at a nursing home in San Antonio in between semesters, and I was an assistant activities director. And one of the things I decided to do was to make use of that beautiful 15-passenger van that Southern Manor Nursing Homes had. And so I would take people to the brewery or the museum or the mall or fishing on Brackenridge Park. And we went to the brewery not to drink beer, forgive me, but we went over there to the Lone Star Brewery had all these Hall of Horns and all these fish and all these animals, and we'd have picnic there on the grounds, and they gave us free root beer, okay? It was wonderful. Now, after a period of time of doing that, those people would remember. They didn't call me Pastor, but they would say, Peter, should we go to the mall again? Time to go to the zoo again. You know, they would remember. So the more activities, the more stimulation that those residents had, the better, right? The better. So I would put swing music on, right? And their minds would just go back. Bless their hearts, some people were put in there and forgotten by their families. They just paid the bill, and they were forgotten by their families. So we stimulated them by, you know, helping them to connect with the past. What works? What works in helping our memories? Well, card games like bridge, board games like backgammon and chess, proven to work. What works? Well, trying new recipes, switching things up a little bit, all right? What also works is puzzles and Sudoku and things of that nature. What doesn't work is staring at the TV more than 3 hours a day, all right? What happens is it takes the brain, you know, to be able to, you know, it just goes to a different place, right? And your brain gets used to that. So you have to walk and stimulate your brain and keep your juices flowing. Deep breathing exercise works. Deep breathing exercise really helps. Breathe in, count to four. Exhale, count to eight. You don't want to hyperventilate, right? But you breathe in, one, two, three, four. Exhale, and then to eight. It really and truly works. Resets the cortisol in your brain. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the last thing I'm going to share with you that really works is dancing. What happened to the wooden floors of those dance halls, right? Those are wonderful things to do. Cutting the rug, go find yourself a dance partner. And we need to be able to feel like we can throw some sawdust on the floor and put our best and go out and listen to some good music, right? I was driving and was listening across Texas. That's the last song my mama and I danced to. She loved to dance, right? My mama and I love to dance. And so, Ernest Tubb, we got to waltz a little bit more and enjoy our time. That stimulates our memories. Now, what contributes to memory loss are these things: depression, anxiety, too much sugar, alcohol, lots of it. What also contributes to memory loss is anger, getting so angry that you lose focus, okay? What contributes to memory loss is a radical change in your life. I don't know, when we were forced to be inside, that we might have lost a little bit of our focus, right? We lost a little bit of our focus. Those things contribute to memory loss. Stress, depression, all of those things contribute to memory loss. That being said, there are some people in our life, or that we may have known people, that just don't forget. They don't forget your mistakes, right? They're really good about remembering what you did wrong. They're not so good about remembering what you did right. But by God, they have like a mental memory list of stuff from way back when that they can remember what you did wrong. And that can be pretty stressful on a relationship, on a marriage, a work environment. It can be very difficult to do that. That can be very difficult for those relationships. There's a reason why people have pretty good at remembering things. A lot of research has been done. A lot of research has been done in relationship to why we remember the bad more than the good. Even though we've had more positive experiences than negative experiences. Even though we may be more positive in our life than negative in our life. Sometimes we remember the bad more than the good. We put stronger language to the bad than the good. We're able to remember more about criticism. We're able to remember more about hardship, about times we've lost money, more than we will remember times that we have gained money, gained friendships, and received affirmation. And the researchers tell us this. It's a survival instinct that we have developed over time. That when people remember bad, they have instinctively tuned their lives to be aware of their space around them so that they can protect themselves. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? I know that under certain conditions, I'm like that. I'm pretty good about being positive and things of that nature. However, I am fully wide awake to my environment. And that skill has been developed over a series of negative and bad and evil experiences that I've been exposed to, that I stay awake to my environment as a way to develop self-preservation more than anything else. So, survival requires attention to possible bad outcomes. This morning's scripture passage, it's not COVID. There's a lot of dust in the air. I've been preaching a little bit too. Now, this morning's scripture passage that Gene read for us, the psalmist points out that he feels that the Lord has forgotten him. Let me repeat some of these passages for you. Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. This is pretty raw. This is pretty bitter. This is harsh language. What's going on is that David is struggling with a change in his life to where the faith that he has relied on no longer works. And that's what happens to us from time to time. The faith that we depend on, the faith that we rely on, is not working anymore. We have changed our worldview, our consciousness, whatever you want to call it, has changed, and our faith needs to grow with that change. It's not like God is ignoring us. It's not like God is giving us the silent treatment. What's actually happening is that the faith that we have had doesn't work for the new place that we are in. It's kind of like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. And that's not to say that our faith was childish as much as it is to say that we outgrew the way that we had our relationship with God. And so God is allowing us to fall a little bit. And that's the test of faith. The test of faith, God doesn't take our family away or make us lose our job or get cancer. God isn't abusive that way. God doesn't do those things to us to teach us a lesson. God doesn't take family members away from us to teach us a lesson. No, we don't believe in a God like that. We believe in a God that's gracious and merciful and wants us to be successful and to succeed. But to do that, we need to grow into that faith. We need to grow into that faith. And it takes a while for us to do that. And what works is worship, prayer, fellowship. So often, my pastor friends and I have a discipline to where if we're having a tough time on Sunday morning, because sometimes we don't want to come to church on Sunday morning. I just want to let you know that. You know, we're human too. We got feelings, right? We go through periods of anxiety and depression and hardship, and we put up a good show at times, and we have to preach faith until we have it. But what works for all of us is that we go to the Lord in prayer and we preach faith until we have it once more. And that's what we have to do. We have to show up. Showing up is 80% of our life's journey. Just showing up. That's what I tell my son. Son, show up and advocate for yourself. And that's what David is doing in this passage. He's advocating for himself. He's saying, my God, where are you? You know, he's not suffering in silence. He said, Lord, show me the way, right? Give me some direction. Help me to understand why I'm in this place. And sure enough, the Lord will answer. There's things that God cannot forget. There's things that God cannot forget, and you're one of them. God will not forget you. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere. Another way of understanding the omnipowers of God is that God does not forget you. God doesn't forget us. But what does God forget? What does God forget? God forgets our sins. Can you imagine that? God forgets our sins. Jeremiah 31, verse 34, the Bible says, I will forgive their iniquities and their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Isaiah 43, verse 26 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins any longer. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And in Psalm 103, verses 11 through 12, here we are, Psalms again with David. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So the Lord forgets our sins. We may not forget our sins. We may have people in our life that won't forget our sins, but the Lord forgets our sins and casts them away. But he doesn't forget you. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16 says, I have written your name on the palm of my hand. I've written your name. Isn't that beautiful? And I'm not advocating tattoos. I don't have any tattoos. I'm not advocating them. However, God has your name tattooed on his hand. And the hymn that identifies with that passage is the hymn that we sang a while ago. I've got the whole world in my hands. Another way of understanding our name being tattooed on the palm of his hands are the nails that Jesus had in his hands. God doesn't forget us. Forgets our sins, but doesn't forget us. I used to work in the west side of San Antonio at a place called Wesley Community Center in the Barrio in San Antonio, and we had a summer camp. All those kids don't have camps, you know. They don't get to go to swimming pools and things like that, and shoot bow and arrows, and learn new songs. And so we began doing those things for those kids. And there was this one kid named Carlos. He's 11 years old. Carlos didn't know who his dad was. When his mama was arrested, the judge gave an order that the mother was never to be in touch with any of her children. She was that bad. That's bad. All right? Can't be in touch with any of her children anymore. And so Carlos was passed down from family member to family member to family member. He's 11 years old. He'd already lived in four different homes. And little Carlos would show up at the community center because we gave suppers and snacks. And he was a hellion. Trouble. You know, sometimes he just liked to fight. We had to work with him. And then one day, I was reading that scripture about the sparrow, knows where the sparrow is, and knows how many hairs are on your head, how many hairs of your head are numbered, knows the numbers of hair on your head, or lack thereof. And there on the bleachers, Carlos sat, and I heard him cry softly. That little boy's crying. And I said, "Son, you okay?" He kept crying. I said, "Anything you want to share? Tell me." He said, "God knows how many hairs are on my head." And he said that over and over and over again. That was his conversion experience. That's when he met Jesus for the first time. Doesn't matter who you are, color of your skin, what your nationality is, how good you've been or how bad you've been, the Lord God has your name on his palm. Gospel. He's not going to forget you. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. God forgets stuff, but he won't forget you. And our job is to remember that and share that gospel word with others. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.